week, my number three kid in my lineup, which is Joy, baby Joy, you know, we just still razz them about their names, is graduating her master's. She got her master's. Okay, I'm supposed to remember what's in. Master's in Human Resource and Development. And she can give a whole paragraph and tell me what all that means. But she is graduating Saturday, so I will not be here. I will be just suffering in San Francisco. And then we're going to the beach. So I won't be here, but Pastor Jim Law, matter of fact, he's actually on our board. He's on the legal side of the board. He had been a really good friend of Jack for a long time, and he came along my side and just helped me figure out the legal side. Do you know there's a legal side of all this stuff? And you better have it, because Uncle Sam will ask for it, and they don't care what color your hair is. They want to do that. So Pastor Jim Law has been a really blessing. If you've never heard him, he pastors he's a pastor, but he also is founder of Second Chance Ministries. Second Chance Ministries is a prison outreach, and they actually go into prisons. They've written curriculum. Now they have trainings for these. He basically is dealing with gentlemen. He'd love to branch out to the women, but they go in and they'll train them. They do interviews. They give them computer skills and help them for the second part. So it's really nice that you have met the Lord Jesus in prison, but then there's the life when you come out. And he realizes how important that is. So Pastor Jim Law will be here next week, and you'll totally enjoy him. Okay, that's enough of my announcements. I'm going to move that. Dun, 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 dun. All right, let's pray. All right, let's pray and get our head in the game, as they say. Father, we want to give you praise and thanksgiving. We just want to thank you so much for your word that you have given us, and it just directs us, encourages us. It points us in the way you want us to live life. So we thank you today that we are going to be receivers of the word, and it'll help us in our life, and we give you thanks and praise. Before, because we're people of faith, we thank you now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. All right. We are finishing up our series on heroes. Yes, this is our fifth week. If you've missed it, go online. You can listen to it, or you can get a free CD. All right. It's real simple. The envelopes in front of here, you can sign up for CDs. Also on those envelopes, you can write a prayer request. They end up downstairs, we tear them apart, and we pray, all right? So if you ever have something that you want us to pray about, that's what they're listed there, okay? So we're finishing up our series on heroes, and it really had to do with faith. And we talked about Abraham, Moses, David. I left one out. Abraham, Moses, David, Noah. There we go. Noah. There we go. I was like, one more. Okay. Yeah, Pastor D, you're the one to do it. Now, the interesting thing about our series is we found out all of these guys, God used them, and they did extraordinary things with their faith. God used them. But the incredible thing, which is I thought was very encouraging, is all of those guys, we have something in common. Where they were human, we're human. And they made mistakes. Anybody ever make some mistakes? Anybody ever have some failures in your life? Well, these guys all made, and some of them made some big doozies. All right? But the praise the Lord part is God still used them. And God still wants to use us, even if we're not perfect. He wants to use us. So I thought this was a very encouraging series on God loves you. He wants to use you. Doesn't matter about your past. He's got a bright future for you. So today we're going to do one more person. One more person. Now, the interesting thing about all these other guys, and we were reading Hebrews 11, this is the New Testament, but these were guys who all lived in the Old Testament. Today, we're going to do one more guy who was different, who was perfect. And his name is Jesus. Okay, so we're going to do one more guy, and his name was Jesus, and he was perfect. He didn't make any mistakes. All right? And before we start talking about Jesus and faith, and by the way, he had a lot of things to say about faith. It was really important to him. But I want to give you a quick story, a pre-story. And this is found in Luke. And this is Jesus who is talking to one of his disciples. He's singling out one guy, Simon Peter. Jesus is singling out one guy, Simon Peter. And he says, Peter, Simon Peter, I just want to warn you that Satan is going to try to come and sift your faith. Satan is going to try to come to steal your faith. Wasn't that a nice warning? All right. Now, why do I want to tell you that? Because Satan is our enemy, and his job, his main thing that he does is to try to steal your faith and my faith. So if you're taking notes, write this down. The enemy is after your faith. The enemy, Satan, is after your faith. And I tell you what, he's pretty good at it. So when you start having marriage problems, you know what it really is? Satan's after your faith. When you start having problems with your finances, you know what it is? Really, Satan is trying to steal your faith. All right? So it's an attack on your faith. Everybody say faith. Okay, who's the enemy? Satan. What does he want to attack you? Attack is your faith. So now, none of the attack is from God. It's from your enemy. So Satan is trying to attack, steal, sift your faith. And when he tries to do that, what he does is really trying to get your focus, your faith, your focus off of God onto your problem, all onto you. So that's what he's trying to steal, your faith, where you get your focus off of God, your faith, your focus off of God, and you get it onto your problem. It's pretty simple, but he's pretty good at it, except for God has a lot to say about it. So let me explain faith. We're going to talk about faith again, and I've given a couple of definitions. Actually, Jim, you preached a couple of my sermons here. I was like, whoa, that was really good. Take notes. Okay, but a lot of people, you'll say, hey, you talk about faith, and they think more of my faith, my religion. I'm a Baptist, that's my faith. I'm a Catholic, that's my faith. Okay, that's my faith. But that's not what God really talks about. That's kind of man digging up titles, right? all right. But this is what God says about faith. God talks about faith, and it's simply faith in God. So when you talk about faith, it's faith in God. You're believing in God. It's putting your trust in God. Matter of fact, the most important thing you ever do in your life, if this is as far as you ever go, and tomorrow, today, you just fall on the floor and you go home to be with Jesus, the most important thing you do is you put your faith in Jesus, receive him as Savior, right? It's the most important thing you put your faith in. Now, after that, because please, we're going to live long upon the earth, and I'm going to be satisfied and all those great things, right? But after you put your faith in Jesus, then we put our faith in God. And that's called our faith walk. That's called our faith walk. So from that moment till Jesus calls you home, you are on a faith walk. You are on a faith walk. All right. Now, what is my faith walk? It's putting my trust in God. It's me believing in God. That's your faith walk. Real simple, real, real simple. Okay. Now, if you look up a definition in Vines, one of the big definitions for faith in the Greek, the word faith in the Greek means persuasion. Persuasion. So what are you persuaded of? What are you convinced of? What are you persuaded of? That's what faith is. That's your faith. I am persuaded of. I am convinced of. I believe this. That's faith. All right? Real simple. Faith. So if you're taking notes, write down faith is persuasion. And you can write your little notes. What I am persuaded of. Now, everybody has faith in something. Oh, yeah. Think about it. Everybody has faith in something. I have seen some people with some crazy faith, right? Anybody know some people that got some crazy faith in some things? You're going, really? All right. But the thing is, when you believe or persuaded in something, you'll start acting a certain way. If you believe and are persuaded in something, you'll live a certain way. You know some people that are living a certain way because they just, I know this is true. I believe this, so I'm going to live this way. All right. So that's faith. So you can believe you, everybody has faith. Some people have crazy faith in crazy things, but we want to have faith in God. All right. Now, I have faith. I actually believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I actually am persuaded that he came to earth and he took my sins. He died on a cross. He went to hell. He rose again. I believe that. And I believe that he sits at the Father's right hand. I believe that he's made a way for me because of that to be a joint heir with Jesus. I am persuaded of that. Anybody persuaded of that? Okay. Now, I am persuaded of that, and therefore I live a different way because I'm persuaded of that. All right? Anybody live a different way because you're persuaded that Jesus is the Son of God? Yep. Okay. So I am persuaded of that. And it also, you might chuckle, it makes me act a little bit different. Yeah, I've watched her in action. It makes me act different because I am persuaded that Jesus is the Son of God. It makes me act a certain way because I believe Jesus now is my Savior. All right? So that's faith. Now, the Bible says faith comes one way. Good. Where's that found? Thank you. Everybody, can you pop that on the screen? Romans 10:17. Thank you. Faith comes only one way. Faith comes by hearing the word. Romans 10:17. I'm in faith. All right. Say when. Yeah, here we go. So then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. All right. Now, how do you have faith in God? How do you have faith? By hearing the word. Okay, now, think about this one. How do you have fear? The exact same thing, by hearing. By hearing. Okay, all done it. 6 o'clock news. I'm in a routine. Every night I sit down in front of the news. It's blasting, whether I'm doing dishes or whatever. And I sit down and I watch the news and they're reporting every bad thing. I mean, they might give 1 second to something good. Most of it is what? Bad news. All right. So all of a sudden they've announced this is going to be the worst season for the flu. Or they announce they've got a new strain disease from the ticks. And all of a sudden you're going, oh my gosh, I was out in the woods yesterday. I didn't even check to see if I have a tick. And suddenly you have fear because of hearing. So you can have faith in some crazy things, right? By hearing. By hearing. By hearing. But I want to have faith in God, and it comes by hearing what? The word of God. So, yeah, the word of God. Much better. Now, question. How do you increase your faith in God? How do you increase? Now, we went over the last time. Everyone who's a believer, you've all been given the measure of faith. You all have faith, the God kind of faith. But how do I increase my faith? Hearing and hearing and hearing. Okay. You will increase your faith this way, okay? Not by watching the news. Man, that'll just smush you, all right? You will increase your faith. If you want to increase your faith, you're going to have to spend time in the Word. Matter of fact, you're going to have to get really routine about it. So I love seeing you on Sunday, and I will dish out the Word, but it won't carry you. So you have to hear and hear the word. And you got to get, eccentric and disciplined. Do it. All right. So now, some of you, I'm not telling you anything new, right? Y'all, some of you, I've known 20, 30, 40, and I'm not telling you anymore how many more years. Okay. But listen, my dad used to play golf. And early in the spring, he'd be getting ready for golf season. And you know what he'd do? He'd go to the driving range. He'd get a bucket of balls. And, you know, it was still kind of terrible weather, and he'd practice, and he'd practice. And what he was really doing is brushing up on his game. Brushing up. That's what. How about your baseball player, and you go to the batter's cage game thingy? You know how much I know about that stuff. I have done it once, and I thought it was terrifying. Balls shooting at ching ching. Okay, so I've check it off my bucket list. I've already done that. But listen, this message, if you will tune into it, and I have been just thrilled this last 5 weeks. I feel like I got to brush up on things I know that I probably just kind of forgot. They got off of focus. Actually, my faith and how I was living life sometimes didn't get really focused. So if you've been here 20, 30, 40, and whatever years, okay, this is a brush up time. And come as a receiver, and God will brush up some things, and you'll just get focused. So, amen. Good preaching, Pastor D. Go for it. I just I'm going to be taking notes. Hallelujah. All right. Open up your Bibles to Mark 11. If you don't have a Bible, we'll give you one. We've got some in the back. Anybody want to borrow a Bible? We got some? Okay, now. Cross your heart and hope to live. You're going to open up your cell phones and do your Bible app, but you're not allowed on Facebook. Okay? Promise. All right. I've had somebody confess, Pastor D, I finally decided just to carry a Bible. It was just too tempting to do the Bible app. All right? So open up your Bible apps, your iPads or whatever, or your plain old Bible. Open up to Mark 11. Now, let me give you background on this. Jesus is walking down the road with his gang, the disciples. They're walking down this road and they're on their way. They're on their way, and Jesus sees this fig tree in the distance, and he goes up to that fig tree expecting to have some breakfast, all right? And he gets up to this fig tree that's got a lot of leaves on it, and it has no fruit, okay? And he's got a problem. He doesn't have breakfast. There's no fig on the fig tree, all right? So Jesus decides at that point to use that as a teaching lesson for his disciples on faith. At that moment, this is not about breakfast drive-through. This is about a message, a lesson, a teaching. It's what do you call that? On-the-job training. Right then, they went to on-the-job training on faith. And that's really what this story is about. Okay? Now, so Jesus, he goes up to this fig tree. It's covered with leaves, and he says something to that tree. He says, no more is anybody going to eat any figs off of you. No more, ever again. Okay? He curses it, and he says, no one will ever eat figs off of you ever again. Now, then the Bible says in there that the disciples heard him say that. Okay. They heard him say that, and then they all went on their merry way. And they were going to this town, and they did their business in this town, and they came back over here. And the next morning, they all get up, and they're on the road again. Okay? They're on the road again, and they pass that fig tree. And that fig tree, it says it had withered from the root, or better yet, I like this one. It says it shriveled up to a dry stick. Now, can you see that? It shriveled up to a dry stick. It shriveled up to a dry stick, and they walked by that, and they remembered what Jesus said to that tree that had now shriveled up to a dry stick. And you know, Peter, big mouth Peter, goes, Lord, Jesus, did you see that tree that you cursed? It shriveled up to a dry stick. I love him. I just love Peter. Okay. And Jesus, but remember what Jesus had said? Jesus had said to that tree, no one will ever eat fruit from you again. No, never, ever, ever. All right. So they remembered what Jesus said, and then they saw this thing. Okay. So this whole story, guys, this whole story is about faith. And we're going to start with Mark 11, verse 22. Open up to that. Mark 11, verse 22. Mark 11, verse 22. This is probably the most important part. Mark 11, verse 22. Here we go. And Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Everybody say that out loud. Have faith in God. Oh, no. Listen to it. Have faith in God. In God. All right. Now, some of you are going, oh, Pastor D, that sounds so weird. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Jesus is saying, though, what he really is saying, it's like what's the little line, the fine print? He said, have faith in God. But the little line is saying, if you ever want to see this happen in your life, have faith in God. That's what he was really saying to him. Come on. If you guys really want to see this happen in your life, have faith in God. That's what he's saying there. Okay, hop over to Hebrews 6. Hebrews 6. Now, some people, listen, wars, small mini wars, let me say that, don't get stretch it. Small mini wars have been started about faith in churches. I don't believe that. I believe this, okay? But turn over here. Hebrews 6, chapter 1. Hebrews 6, verse 1. Hebrews 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. Okay, why did I read that? There's six of those things in that chapter. They're called the basics Bible doctrine. Every believer, this is, when you go to college, you have to take history 101, math 101. Well, this is Bible 101. All believers, he's saying, y'all should know this. Basic Bible doctrine. And you know what the first one is? I can't read it that way. It says, turn from dead works. That's Joe basic Bible doctrine. Every believer should know that. So once you've asked Jesus Christ into your life, okay, then you're supposed to turn from dead works. Once you've received Jesus Christ into your life, you're to turn from dead works. Okay, what are dead works? Okay, dead works is trying to get God to love me more. It's trying to get more favor from God because I'm going to do this. It's if I pray more, then God will do more for me. Those are all dead works. Everybody say dead works. Now, I came out of a denomination. We were really good at dead works. Matter of fact, I just thought that's how everything was done. You had to do this so you can do that. All right. Now, that's Bible basic. He said you're to turn from that. All right. Now, again, once you've asked Jesus Christ into your life, you will come out of this kingdom into God's kingdom. And you don't have to live. You should not live by doing dead works because I'm in God's kingdom. I don't need to do dead works. Try to get God to do things for me. All right. Now, this new kingdom, I love it. Well, okay, back up. The old kingdom, the old way, before I knew Jesus, everything had to do by how I felt. Oh, today I just feel this way. It had to do with everything I could see. Oh, did you see what happened? Okay, it had to do with all your five senses. The old way, the old kingdom. I'm not in that old kingdom. Now I'm in this new kingdom. Thank you, Jesus. You've placed me in your kingdom. I'm an heir and I'm a child of God in this new kingdom. I have one sense. Yeah, that sounded funny. Okay. One sense. And that's faith. That is the only way we live. Before, before we're moved by our five senses. Now, it's just I have faith in God. Okay. I put my trust in God. That's why, 2 Corinthians 5:17, we walk by faith and not by sight. All right. I have faith. I put my faith in God, not with what my senses are saying. I just, I believe and I'm going to trust, believe in God. All right. Now, if you live by your senses, I got to tell you, it sometimes is going to be a train wreck. It will be a train wreck. It is not God's way. So now that we are new creatures, we live in this new kingdom. We live a new way. We live by one sense, and that's by faith. Everybody say, I live by faith. I walk by faith. Hallelujah. All right. Now, look over at Mark 11, 23. Let's go back. Oh, no, wait. Let me do one more. Those Bible doctrines, the last one down there, it says repentance from dead works. We're supposed to turn from that, and faith towards God. Faith towards God is Bible basics. That's just basic. I have faith in God. Just all right. So when you're sitting there going, all they ever talk about is faith. It's basic. All right. It's basic. Now, praise God. Praise God. Let's see. All right, so I lost my notes here. All right, now turn to Mark 11. We're going back there. Mark 11. Mark 11, 23. Jesus said, your Bible might say whosoever. Mine says whatsoever. Whosoever or whoever. How many say whosoever? How many say whoever? Well, let me ask you this. Jesus said whoever or whosoever says to the mountain. How many of you are a whosoever? How many of you are a whoever? That's me. He's talking to me. You all are whoever's. All right. So he's saying whoever. All right. Now, whoever says to the mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Really? Oh, come on, Pastor D. I think you're one of those. Okay, how many of you have at home or with you a red letter edition Bible? Okay, you ought to get one. Because if you're having trouble going, I don't know about this faith stuff. This verse is written in red. So who said that? All right, so yeah, faith, there's a lot to be said about faith and walking in God, and Jesus said it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So back to our story. Jesus sees this fig tree. He wants to have breakfast. There's only leaves on there. He walks up and he curses it. And the next day he walks by with his disciples and it's all shriveled up like a stick. And Jesus is telling his disciples, hey guys, if you want to see this in your life, if you want to be able to do this in your life, have faith in God. Have faith in God. So, the tree represents problems. Real simple. That fig tree represents problems that people have. Anybody going through a problem? Anybody know somebody who's going through a problem? Y'all have perfect lives? My gosh, I'm coming to your house. Okay. All right. We all encounter problems in our life. So this fig tree represents problems. And Jesus is saying five things in Mark 11. If you're taking notes, write this down. The first thing he says in Mark 11 is you are going to need faith in this life to face your problems. You are going to need faith. You're going to need to use your faith in this life to face your problems. So we all run into problems. We've got people who have problems. So you're going to need faith, right? You're going to need to trust that it's God's will and he's willing to help you out. That's faith. You're going to need to put your faith in this God and his word that it's going to pull you through your problems, all right? Now, Jesus said over and over in the New Testament, actually in the Old Testament, it's written very similar about in the New Testament, it's about five times Jesus says this, pretty similar to this. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible, God. Jesus said that five different times in the Gospels. Okay. Now, let me tell you a story that looked really impossible, but this person had faith in God. So this was an impossible situation. You know, the woman with the issue of blood, the woman that was a hemorrhaging for 12 years. All right. And it says that she went to all these doctors. Matter of fact, it's written in about three of the different gospels. But one of them says, and she suffered greatly from the doctors. How many could say amen to that? God. And listen, back in the day, you're going to doctors? Yes, and she suffered greatly. So she had gone to doctors for 12 years. She suffered greatly. And it also said she spent all of her livelihood. Sound like? Okay, don't say that, Pastor D. All right. So she spent all her money. She went to the doctor. All righty. Now, the Bible says that she heard about Jesus. She heard about Jesus. She heard about Jesus. And then she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made well. First, she heard about Jesus, and then she said, if I can just touch the hem of her garment, I'll be well. It says in one translation, she said this over and over and over. Okay? Then the day comes. Jesus is coming by, and she's in this big crowd. It says multitudes. Okay, now the closest I can comprehend what that meant was years ago when I was young and not too smart, I went to New Year's Eve Times Square. Oh my God. And my mother warned me, oh, now it'll be fun. Okay, multitudes, multitudes, okay, multitudes. So she's in a crowd with Jesus and multitudes, but she had heard about Jesus, and then she had said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made well. Well, guess who goes through? And she grabs hold of him and in the crowd, and Jesus stops. Now, wait a minute. She's in a what? Multitudes, crowds. One place it says it was suffocating. I think I knew what that meant in Times Square. Suffocating. So she's in this crowd, and Jesus is in the crowd, and somehow she touches Jesus, and it says, Jesus stopped. Now, there's multitudes in the crowd that obviously were probably touching him too, because they're all bumping into each other, right? Okay? But Jesus stopped for one woman. One woman got Jesus to stop. And Jesus turned around and he said, who touched me? He said, and then it says, he said, virtue or power had come out of him into her. He stopped. All right. And he said, who touched me? And don't you love his brilliant disciples? They go, what are you kidding? There's like a zillion people here. Are you for real? Like we're going to know the answer to this? Okay. Okay. Jesus stopped and he asked, who touched me? Now, she must have been so close that when she touched him, that, and he said he felt virtue or power come out of him, that immediately he stopped and he said, who touched me? So she was close enough to hear him say that. I love getting in the middle of it, right? Okay. And you know what she does? She drops to her knees and she is in fear and trembling because she's living in the Old Testament time. She's living under the law time. And in the law time, if you were a woman and you had an issue of blood, you weren't allowed to go near crowds unless you had to yell, unclean, unclean, unclean. Listen, I'm a woman. That's not anything that's going to come out of my mouth. Are you kidding me? But she, to warn people, she had to go, if she wanted to go in that crowd without getting in trouble, okay, she had to be yelling, unclean, unclean. But she didn't say that, did she? No, she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. Instead of saying unclean, she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. Okay. Wow. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing's impossible with God. And listen, we go through stuff in life. And you might think yours is worse than hers. Anytime you've got an impossible, it always feels worse. It's worse than yours. Mine is worse, okay? But this was an impossible situation, and this is what Jesus did. So she touched him. He said, "Who touched me?" And she's probably kneeling down at that point still. And she says, "It was me. I touched you." And what did Jesus say to her? "Daughter, your faith has made you whole." He didn't say, "Oh man, I didn't have a healing line." No, he didn't do that. We get so religious sometimes, I'm telling you. So he says, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole." Now, real interesting. 2/3 of the healings that Jesus was doing in the New Testament, 2/3 of them, do you know what he always says? "Your faith has made you whole." 2/3 of them. Others were different, but 2/3 of them. I like that number. 2/3 of them. He said, "Your faith, daughter, your faith has made you whole." Okay. So you know what faith is? It's what you're persuaded of. So what was this woman persuaded of? "If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made well." That was her faith. She was persuaded. If I can just touch. Okay. So what is your persuasion of? What do you believe? Hers was, "If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole." All right. So you know what I found out? If you've got problems and you do it Jesus's way, you do it in faith in Jesus, they're going to change. That's what I found out. All right. All right. Let's go. Number two, Jesus said through Mark 11, number two, if you're taking notes, your words are vital. Your words are important. Your words, what you say is really important. So Mark 11, 23, here we go. Whatever you say. Now, you know what I got? I was like, I know that. And the Holy Spirit was saying, I didn't say whatever you talk about. It didn't say whatever you talk about. I said, whatever you say. All right. Sometimes we talk about our problem. "Oh my gosh, today was like the worst day ever." And what am I doing? I'm talking about, "I have a mountain of problems." We're talking about. All right. But Jesus says here, he says, whatever you say to the mountain. All right. So what do you have to say to the mountain? "Be thou removed, be cast into the sea," and doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, and he will have whatever he says. Okay, just real simple. What happens if we change what we say? What happens if we start changing what we say? We have faith in him. We start changing what we say. How about if we start speaking to these problems? Start speaking to the problems. And, you know, this is where this whole message got goofed up. Okay. But I'm not denying that my foot hurts. Okay. I do not deny that. All right. Okay. But I am going to start speaking. I'm going to say to the problem, "Be healed. You're the healed. The life of God is in you." All right. So how about we start speaking life? All right. Start speaking life to the problems. So anybody have some problems? Know somebody has some problems? How about we start speaking life to them? All righty. How about, let's say your marriage right now looks like a train wreck. How about instead of saying and talking about it, and he said he, she said a lot of that, you start saying, "I have a godly marriage. I have a godly wife. I have a godly husband. And they're following after God." How about we speak life? That's speaking life. All right. How about, how about you got some pain and sickness in your body? All right. You're going to have to speak life. How about you got some issues in your mind going on? Anybody ever get up and your mind is whirling? It is slash you, smash you. Okay. How about if you start speaking life and say, "Mind, you be at peace." All right. Speak life. Proverbs 6:22. You probably know this. You can just jot it down. You are snared by the words of your, all right, and you are taken by the words of your mouth. Okay, snared. Snared is a trap. Has anybody ever gotten trapped with your words? Oh my gosh. Insert foot choke on it. Okay, but that's a little different, but it sort of is the same. But really, have you ever gotten trapped by what you're saying, by what you're saying, by what you're saying? And this is saying, speak life and you won't get trapped. And you know, when you get in a trap, over at mom and dad's house, they trap critters. All right. Everything from squirrels. They were big on squirrels. Do we ever get any groundhogs in that trap? I don't know. Okay. Once that critter got in that trap, it couldn't get out. We are snared, trapped by the words of our mouth. So how about we don't go in that trap and we start speaking life? And what is life? Say what God says. Say what God says. All right. So from now on, I'm going to say and speak life over my kids. I'm going to speak life over my marriage. I'm going to speak life and good things over my finances. Okay. So number two, our words are vital. All right. How about this? I've been doing this for so long. I don't even know how not to. How about you get up in the morning before your feet hit the ground and you start saying, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This day, the greater one lives in me, and I am more than a conqueror through him. Today, favor goes wherever I go. It goes before me. It surrounds me wherever I am, on the job, at home. How about you start saying that kind of stuff out of your mouth? I got news. You won't be depressed, and you just might even be excited when you get out of your bed. This is the greatest day of my life. I'm on a journey with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's made me the head and not the tail. All right. Then put your feet on the ground. All right. Now, I know I'm sound a little excited, but I'm telling you, I can't remember a day that I have not spoken life before I got out of bed. Sometimes when those babies were little and they're screaming at 5:30, dear Jesus, I just was like, this is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice. My children are blessed because they are taught of the Lord, and they sleep because their mama needs it. Okay. Way back, I would say life. I would say life to problems. All right. Okay. Number three, coming along here. Number three. Third thing Jesus said in Mark 11 is found in verse 24. Therefore, I say to you, whatever thing you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive it and you will have them. So if you're taking notes, you will need to pray in faith. Or you will need to say in faith. You will need to pray in faith. Okay, what is praying in faith? Real simple. It's believing what God says. I mean, I've got more notes there, but I just make it really simple. What is praying in faith, Pastor D? It's just believing whatever God said in his word. All right? It's believing. Turn over to James chapter 5. I think I'm going to slide this one in here. James chapter 5, verse 15. Ah, love saying things here. Maybe first. James 5, verse 14. This is written by James. He's a pastor. He's got a church going on. And he says, hey, anybody in church sick? Okay, sometimes we read this stuff and it's just like over our head and we're like, it's not relevant. Okay, this is James. He's writing and he's got a church. And he says, is anyone in church sick? Let them call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus, and the prayer of faith will do what? Okay. Prayer of faith. Okay. prayer of faith. So he's saying, hey, there's some people here sick. Let them call for the elders and they'll pray over him and the prayer of faith will save them. That's the word sozo, and we've done that before. Sozo is healed, delivered, protected, prosperous, and there's like seven of them, okay? So he's saying, listen, they'll pray the prayer of faith and it'll save them and they'll be well. Okay, praying in faith, praying and believing what God said is true. It's not hard, all right? So how about if you've got some problems in your life? I will say they're not going to change. And listen, I love trying to fix things without praying. I do. I forget that sometimes. I just love trying to fix people and lives. But listen, when I pray first, I see things change. Sometimes you're going to hit the wall unless you pray about your problems, faith in God, in His Word, then they're going to change. So if you're hitting the wall on some problems in your life, just maybe you're saying the wrong stuff. All right? Just maybe. You're saying the wrong stuff. So what is praying in faith? It's believing whatever you're praying is going to happen. Because I'm going to pray. I'm going to say what God said. That's what praying in faith is. Okay, last one. Fourth thing Jesus said in Mark 11:24. Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. So number four, you have to believe before you see. You have to believe before you see. You have to believe before you see. God is like the king of faith, by the way. Genesis 1. And God, there was nothing. The world was out with void, without darkness. And he said things. And they became. He was saying things before he could see them. All right? We're made in his image. So we're going to say things before we see them. There's a scripture. I'm just going to read it to you. Romans 4:17. It's about Abraham. It says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. Okay. Right there when God said that, he didn't even have a baby. Okay. So this is God speaking. Say, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him who believed. God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as they do. So listen, God called things out in Abraham's life before they were, before they existed. God was even in faith. He was saying things before they'd even happened. And we, when you pray, you're going to have to say things before you see them. That's faith. Okay, I am saying things before I see them. Okay, you get up in the morning and your body is screaming. Okay, I went up and down a ladder yesterday. It felt like a zillion times. I got up this morning, said, oh, excuse me, before I got up this morning, I said all these things, okay, and faith. And then I started walking down the stairs and oh my gosh, my legs were screaming. Okay, so I had to start calling my body healed, whole, pain-free. Or I could just go and put some with that ice. What's that ice thing you rub on your, you know, that hot and ice thing. Okay, you can do that. That's cool. Go ahead and do it. But I decided to start saying, and I live in a two-story house, so I was up and down the stairs quite a few times, and I started saying what I could not see. Better yet, what I did not feel. And by the time I get to the church and I went up and down these stairs a few times, I'm like, hey, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Okay, that's just a little thing. But listen, there's a natural side to all this, guys. You live in a body, all right? And I will tell you, you don't take care of this body, you're going to have some problems. And it can make me cry. I have, there's one particular lady, she did not take care of her body. And I visited her in the hospital, and then I did was part of her funeral. And I thought that was the natural side that didn't have to happen. She did not take care of her body. All right? So there's a natural side, and God gave you this body, and you're supposed to take care of this body. All right? And It's much easier to keep on doing it as opposed to wake up at 60 one day and go, oh my gosh, how'd this happen? And then you try, you know, go to the gym. All right. So you have this, but that's the natural side, but we have a spiritual side. Okay. And thank God we have the spiritual side where you're going to say what God says. And he comes in and he fixes things up. Hallelujah. Cause he loves you. All right. So how about we say words that God says, I'm more than a conqueror. I'm the head, not the tail. And you know, all that good stuff. All right. So I have to start saying things before I see them. I have to start saying things and not go by my five senses. I have to just start saying things. And what are the things I'm going to say? I'm going to say what God says. And I'm going to speak life to those things that need to change. So does anybody have some things in your life that need to change? All right. So you will need to go and see what God says about it. All right. So you can go to the Word. We got some great stuff in the bookstore. We have books with scriptures. Okay. And I'm getting ready to put online, YCF, you go to YCF.com, and I'm going to put online confessions for your body, confession for your mind, confession. So you can go and just click online. So we're working on this project. Give me about 2 more weeks and we'll have it all up. All right. But you're going to have to say what God says. And I'm going to believe and I'm going to be persuaded that what God says is going to happen. And that is faith. So let's close in prayer. Hallelujah. How many of you would say God has spoken to your heart that it's time to change some things you're saying? Anybody? All right. Okay. Listen, Jesus said faith had to do with words. Faith had to do with words. All right. Okay. So let's, before we do that, before we pray, pop that one last scripture. Now, most of you know this by heart, but I want you to look at it. Romans 10:9-10. Romans 10:9-10. If you have a Bible, would you just look at it? Okay. I know we got this if you don't have a Bible, but look at this one. Romans 10:9-10. Now, Romans 10:9-10. If you confess, what's another word for that? Say, speak. Okay. So you can write all over your Bible. What Jack used to say, if you can't write over your Bible, get rid of it and get one you can. He was just adamant about you better write in your Bible. And by the way, all of his Bibles, he's got things written all over up the side and down like that. Okay. So here we go. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the, that's that say thing, right? Speaking thing. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. When you received Jesus, you had to believe in your heart and then you had to say stuff out of your mouth. How many of you have done that? Believed something in your heart, and you had to say something in your mouth. Okay, now this is the thing. After you become a Christian, the rules don't change. You believe what God says, and then you're going to say out of your mouth. Somebody, you know, people, well, I did that once. No, baby, till the day you die, you will be saying, and you ought to say what God says. Say what he says, put it in your heart, and then get it in your heart, and then you say it. All right, now. This is what Christianity is all about. This is the great confession, the profession of our faith, is we're going to say what God says. So now let's pray. Hallelujah. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Father, that your word has just, I hope, rattled us, awakened us, and direct us, Father, that we would be conscious of what we say. Holy Spirit, we ask you to help us say what you say. Help us speak words of life. How many would say that? Holy Spirit, help me, remind me to speak words of life about my problems, about my situations. In Jesus' name. Okay, this is the final thing. If you're here and you have never believed in your heart and confessed with your mouth, today's the greatest day. It says today's the day of salvation. Today, if you harden not your heart.